Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 83 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
The information I got was that we need to use every tool we can, including your methadone clinics.
A Rowan County official attended the National Association of Counties annual conference this week.
The annual SOAR Summit is scheduled for next week in Pikeville.
A former Carter County judge executive denies responsibility for missing documents.
In sports, a Moorhead State baseball star continues to rise in the postseason.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
The complete weather forecast is coming your way after this news.
Rowan County Judge Executive Walter Blevins was in Columbus, Ohio for the past few days, attending the National Association of Counties annual conference. Blevins says, among other things, officials at the event heard from Piper Kerman, one of the writers for the HBO series Orange is the New Black, about the increasing number of women who are going to prison.
I think they said it was almost a 600% increase in number of women in jails the last 20 years versus men. I think about an increase of about 400%. So we're having to deal with more women, especially with the drug problem, and we need to use different techniques to try to address that.
Blevin says those at the conference also discuss methods for solving the growing problem of opioid use and addiction that has swept across the country in recent years.
Adding to the city's recreational opportunities remains a high priority for Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent. The eventual goal is for the city to partner with Rowan County and possibly Moorhead State University on a project to build a new recreation park. In the meantime, Trent says Moorhead plans to open its next dog park next week and its upgraded playground by sometime this fall.
We're at the point now where we've done a good job. The previous administration set us up good, set us up well, and we have stayed within that, and we've done a very, very good job of being good stewards of the taxpayers' money, and it's enabled us now to be at one of our highest bonding capacity.
Trent says more attention will be given to the building of a new recreation park or possible water park once the city completes the building of its new police and fire station. He hopes to announce by this fall the site and design for that $5 million project.
A ribbon cutting and grand opening for a Moorhead wetland area is scheduled for Friday at 11 a.m. The city of Moorhead used a $1.9 million FEMA grant to buy flood-damaged property from homeowners after a May 2010 flood. Around 20 homes were demolished to create the wetland area, now called Boone Hollow. Director of Moorhead State University's Center for Environmental Education's April Haight says several natural trails have been mowed into the area.
The longest path, which goes all the way around the wetland area, is just under half a mile. So you could do two laps and get in just about a mile. And then there's a shorter path that's a little over a third of a mile. And then there's two paths that you can walk and do a quarter of a mile.
In addition to the ribbon cutting, activities for children are also planned. Boone Hollow is in the neighborhood between Buffalo Wild Wings and Save-A-Lot in West Moorhead.
A week of old-fashioned living is taking place at Carter Caves State Resort Park. Pioneer Life Week is dedicated to the Revolutionary War, the War of 1812, and the settlement of lands around the Ohio River. The 26th annual event began Monday and continues until Sunday. Park spokesman Coy Ainsley says there's currently a camp full of canvas tents on a hilltop at the park. In this encampment, demonstrators are recreating living conditions as they were at the turn of the 19th century.
Today's society, everybody is at a very fast pace. They want to get as much done as possible, which, you know, on the frontier it was busy. There was things to do every day to be able to keep on living. A lot of people are like, don't you miss the air conditioning? Don't you miss, you know, this is and that of the modern society? But it's relaxing. It kind of takes you a step back and allows you to slow down and experience what life is all about.
The week's demonstrations will include tomahawk throwing, primitive fishing, spinning and weaving, pioneer clothing, 18th century toys and games, blacksmithing, and cannon firing. A full schedule of the week's demonstrations is on the Carter Cabe's Facebook page. Ainsley plans to be there. He says Pioneer Life Week is kid-friendly and free of charge.
Rowan Superintendent Marvin Moore remains optimistic that enrollment at the district school will rise again in the upcoming academic year. Moore says they added about 40 new students last year and finished May with a total of about 3,300 youngsters. He says with jobs in the Moorhead area seemingly plentiful, that makes him optimistic that Rowan's enrollment will increase again in the 2017-18 school year.
With the expansion of the St. Clair, the things that they're doing over there, and we've got people moving in the community into Rowan County for that growth, and I think some of the factories, the SRG, I think they've employed some additional people in Regal down on 60 as well, and there's some business that's picked up in town, so I think that helps us to grow a little bit.
Moore says a larger number of students means more SEEK money from the state for Rowan schools. SEEK is the basic funding formula the Department of Education employs to fund Kentucky's K-12 public schools. It's based on average daily attendance. Each student is worth about $3,900 a year to the given district. School in Rowan County begins on August 10th.
University of Kentucky winemaking researchers say limited sales of their bottles could start by late fall. The Lexington Herald Leader reports the agriculture program researches the state's growing industry, which produces 89,000 cases of wine from Kentucky. Limited sales of the university's wine could supplement the program, although it's mostly paid for through the State Agriculture Development Board with tobacco settlement funds. The limited sales would involve no commercial sales at liquor stores or restaurants. University enologist Patsy Wilson says state wine sales pricing and other logistics are still being worked out. She says there may be an option for a subscriber to get 4 to 6 bottles every other week. According to the Kentucky Grape and Wine Council, the state had its first commercial vineyard in the United States in 1798.
This year's Summit for Shaping Our Appalachian Region, or SOAR, will be held August 4th in Pikeville. This is the fourth annual summit to be hosted by the organization, which focuses on connecting members and resources to make lasting community change. Executive Director Jared Arnett says the summit will give people insight into the future of Appalachia through more than 100 projects on display.
We're trying to build a future in Appalachia, Kentucky, and we've got a lot of partners that are engaged and participate in it. And this is really a day to celebrate progress, and then cast some vision going forward, continue to remind people where we're headed and what the next steps are.
Registration is just $15 and includes breakfast, lunch, and snack throughout the day. Thursday is the last day to pre-register for the event, and you can do so online at soar-ky.org.
The Kentucky Department for Energy Development and Independence has announced its latest grant recipients. MSPR's Kyle Blankenbuehler reports.
Energy and Environment Cabinet Secretary Charles Snavely says 7 organizations will share more than $1.6 million in grant funding. The money will be used to promote efficient technologies and practices in public and private sectors. 2 Eastern Kentucky organizations receiving grants are the Jackson Energy Cooperative and the Owsley County Board of Education. They were given over $28,000 and $335,000, respectively. Both got the money to assist with energy projects, including lowering infrastructure costs and reducing energy consumption. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Kyle Blankenbuehler.
Carter County's former judge executive is denying responsibility for a lack of documentation that kept the county from getting emergency money. Arlo Barnett has more.
The Independent reports Charles Wallace came under fire from the Carter County Fiscal Court during a special meeting last week. Current Judge Executive Mike Malone says the State Transportation Cabinet denied the county discretionary or emergency funds due to missing documentation on emergency funding claims from 2008 to 2014. Neither man claims to know where the missing records are. Wallace says the records may have been put in storage, as is usual for court documents on an annual basis, or taken by auditors. Malone alleges the former judge took 100% of the emergency repair costs from the state instead of the usual 80% and never turned in the paperwork. Wallace denies any wrongdoing. I'm Arlo Barnett for MSPR. Repairs by the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet to the State Route 224, also known as the Russell Viaduct, has necessitated that it be closed for the rest of the week. Cabinet spokesman Alan Blair says crews are working to patch its concrete decking.
Looking at getting some repairs done ahead of the winter, and now is the best time to do it while school is out, and it will impact less traffic. Unfortunately, you know, to get these repairs done means that we will have to shut down that road, which is an important access to downtown Russell.
Blair says motorists should use caution through the Kentucky 244 U.S. 23 Ironton-Russell Bridge intersection and utilize Route 23 and Ferry Streets or other possible detour routes. Emergency vehicles will still be allowed to travel through that area.
Kentucky Congressman John Yarmuth says Senate Republicans are looking for a unicorn by offering a replacement to the Affordable Care Act. The Senate voted on a motion continuing the process of health care reform today. So far, GOP efforts to repeal and replace Obamacare have fallen short. Yarmuth says he doesn't believe Majority Leader Mitch McConnell ever wanted to introduce an alternative plan, but instead sought to preserve his majority hold on the upper chamber.
They never expected to have the presidency. They never thought they were actually going to have to pass a bill that made a difference. You know, the very few people actually want to see the Affordable Care Act repealed with no replacement. Somewhere around 75% want to see it either maintained or improved. So they can take that case, but it's a losing side.
Yarmuth says the best alternative to the ACA might be a single-payer model of universal Medicare, but his Republican colleagues are not interested in exploring that option.
Six people were arrested in Mount Sterling early this morning after police responded to a complaint at a local hotel. Police told LEX18 a large amount of crystal methamphetamine was seized. All suspects were charged with trafficking in a controlled substance, and two suspects were also charged with separate counts of trafficking in a controlled substance from a separate investigation. Arrested were 35-year-old Amos Gillum, 38-year-old Brian Blevins, 27-year-old Ashley Hiley, 36-year-old Julia Eaglebarger, and 35-year-old Ryan Lawson, all of Mount Sterling, along with 26-year-old Lakin Minix of Louisville.
Monday was another night of gun violence in Lexington. Police say road rage led to the city's latest shooting. According to WKYT, police only found out about the shooting after the victim showed up at UK Hospital just before midnight. The victim told police he was shot on East 2nd Street. The unidentified man claims he was a passenger in a car that was parked near a liquor store at East 3rd Street and Eastern Avenue. While sitting in the car, the victim said another car pulled up and two men inside began yelling about the victim's car, blocking traffic. At that point, the victim said a man in the suspect's car shot him. The driver took the victim to the hospital where police say he's recovering from non-life-threatening injuries.
The driver of the truck where 10 men died in a Texas parking lot may be from Louisville. KNN's Will Clark has the story.
San Antonio police say the driver of the semi found with nearly 40 overheated immigrants is James Bradley of Clearwater, Florida. A Washington Post report has found that Bradley may be from Louisville after talking to the owner of Pyle Transportation, the firm whose name was on the side of the truck. Brian Pyle telling the Post Bradley was from Louisville and was making his first trip for the company, describing him as an independent contractor who, quote, makes his own decisions. I'm Will Clark.
There has been another delay in the 2009 murder case of a 2-year-old Rowan County boy. Brian Gallagher, one of two defendants in the case, was in Montgomery County Circuit Court this past Friday. The Moorhead News reports that he is scheduled to reappear in court on August 18th. He is charged with the murder and first-degree criminal abuse in the death of co-defendant Tia Jones's son, Nathaniel. The toddler died of injuries to his stomach while in the care of his mother and her former boyfriend. The case has been delayed multiple times due to medical testimony, conflicts with defense counsel, or judicial issues.
Turning now to a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening region. Tonight it'll be clear. We'll see lows around 59 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, highs up around 87. Tomorrow night, it'll be partly cloudy, lows in the mid-60s. On Thursday, a 90% chance of thunderstorms blows in, highs around 80 degrees. That night, a 60% chance of storms continuing, lows around 70. And on Friday, at the end of this week, a 60% chance of rain showers tapering off later in the day, highs in the upper 70s. It's currently sitting at 80 degrees in Ashland, as well as in Flemingsburg. It's 82 degrees right now in Inez and in Winchester, 83 in Lexington, and 82 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
On our feature segment today, a Morehead State University volunteer program has received a $100,000 grant from the Corporation for National Community Service. Kyle Blankenbuehler has the story.
The MSU Retired and Senior Volunteer Program will use the money to expand programs to Boyd, Carter, Elliott, Greenup, and Lawrence counties. That's according to Teresa Judd, RSVP Project Director.
What the grant was written for was to collaborate with the school systems in those five counties to put volunteers in the school to help teach opioid prevention in third through seventh grade.
The purpose of MSU's RSVP is to provide challenging and satisfying volunteer assignments for people 55 and over, thus enabling them to remain active and to serve their communities in a volunteer capacity. By donating their time and skills, volunteers provide nonprofit organizations with services that make community organizations more effective. Volunteers will collaborate with the school systems in the five new counties to teach opioid prevention.
Well, research shows that prevention is the way to go. Instead of, obviously, after someone is addicted, trying to get them off of it. We will be using evidence-based programming that is already out there. There's a life skills course and also the Too Good for Drugs training. So we will be getting those trainings, and we'll do a train the trainer. Whoever I hire will take the train the trainer classes and be able to train volunteers, which we will be recruiting. There are several steps. We have to collaborate with the schools and see which one they would like to use and get in the schools and that kind of stuff.
In 2016, more than 208,000 Senior Corps RSVP volunteers served in communities across the country. Through community and faith-based organizations, volunteers served more than 300,000 veterans, mentored more than 78,000 children, and provided independent living services to almost 800,000 older adults.
Volunteers that I would think would be a good fit would be maybe retired teachers, because it's just one time a week for 8 weeks and it would be finished. Currently in the counties that we serve, we do have some retired teachers. We have veterans. We have retired MSU employees. I have volunteers from all walks of life. Let's put it that way.
For more information on the organization or how volunteers can sign up, contact Judd at 606-783-5124 or tajudd@morehead.edu/RSVP. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Kyle Blankenbuehler.
It's 448 and 83 degrees on the campus of Morehead State University. We're glad to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. Sports with Braxton Howard is coming up after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Rowan County Fiscal Court, which has recently purchased surveillance equipment to catch individuals who are dumping illegally in the county. If you know of illegal dumping locations anywhere in Rowan County, you may contact the Solid Waste Department at 784-6345. County officials are currently monitoring several locations, but help is needed from the public to catch and prosecute litterers to help keep Rowan County clean. That number again is 784-6345.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. Following last night's makeup game loss in Cleveland, the Cincinnati Reds are in New York tonight at 7:05 to open up an interleague series with the Yankees. Scooter Gennett provided one of the Reds' lone bright spots in Monday's 6-2 defeat to the Indians. He belted his 18th home run of the season and is now hitting .313 for manager Brian Price's team.
You know, he's a hitter, and he handles a lot of different pitches in a lot of different zones. He's given us good competitive at-bats throughout the course of the season, and certainly a nice bat to have in our lineup, certainly sitting in the middle as productive as he's been.
24-year-old rookie right-hander Luis Castillo pitches tonight in the Bronx for the Reds. He's 1-3 this season. The Yankees will send 6-5 southpaw Jordan Montgomery to the mound. Just one afternoon baseball game today. Currently in the sixth inning, the Cubs lead the White Sox 4-2. Morehead State baseball star Nico Hosizer's banner 2017 year is continuing. MSPR's Chuck Mirage reports.
The sophomore slugger has been picked to take part in the New England Collegiate League All-Star Game and Skills competitions, which will include a 60-yard dash and a home run derby. Holtzizer only last month won college baseball's home run derby in Omaha. He currently leads the Valley Blue Sox of Holyoke, Massachusetts, with 6 dingers. Meanwhile, a fellow Eagle, junior infielder Braxton Morris, who also plays for the Blue Sox, is among the finalists for the last 2 All-Star spots, which will be determined by an online fan vote. The league's All-Star festivities will be on July 30th in North Adams, Massachusetts. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Chuck Mraz.
The All-Pioneer Football League team was announced earlier today. Morehead State senior defensive lineman Colt Briggs was named to the team. MSU head coach Rob Tenier says Briggs has earned that honor.
Well, obviously, he's well-deserving of that. You know, I was very disappointed to see that he was not first team All-Conference last year. I felt like he was close to being a candidate for Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, he led all interior defensive linemen in tackles for a loss, and I think was, you know, in the top 5 or 6 in sacks. So very well deserving. I know he's working hard and obviously expecting a big year from him this year.
Briggs finished last season with 80 total tackles, including 17.5 tackles for loss. He and the rest of the Football Eagles get preseason practice started 1 week from today on August the 1st. The old adage is that football games are won up front, and if that's true, Round County head coach Kelly Ford is looking ahead to his team's 2017 schedule with confidence. Ford thinks his offensive line has a nice blend of talented veterans and young players.
Got a couple of linemen up front of Hunter Hurst and Zach Watkins, two seniors that's going to lead them guys up front. But still pretty young offensively on the O-line. I got majority sophomores up there behind those two guys, so we're pretty excited about that group up front.
The Vikings are preparing to face Nicholas County in the EKC Gridorama on August the 11th in Flemingsburg. Despite several key graduation losses, West Carter football coach Kevin Brown says the Comets are still blessed with a number of talented skill players. On offense, Brown says he has guys who can help West move the ball and score points, despite a lack of veterans on the O-line.
From the quarterback to our tailback and things, and as they go, we'll go. And, you know, because a lot of the offense we run, it don't – everybody needs to block somebody, but it don't rely on us just bulldozing somebody every play or anything like that.
Senior Peyton Brown returns at quarterback for the Comets. He accounted for over 1,700 yards and 28 touchdowns rushing and passing last season. Junior Christian Rivers led West with 17 receptions while also rushing for 133 yards. He's also back. From the NFL, the Dallas Cowboys have released receiver and kick returner Lucky Whitehead after the third-year player was linked to a shoplifting arrest in his home state of Virginia. His agent and now the police have said it was a case of mistaken identity. Denver has inked general manager John Elway to a new 5-year contract. San Diego is bringing veteran quarterback Robert Griffin III in for a workout. And while his surgically repaired shoulder is improving, quarterback Andrew Luck will start training camp on the Colts' physically unable to perform list. He is, though, expected to be ready for the start of the regular season. The Morehead State soccer team gets the 2017 season started in a little over 2 weeks when they visit Butler on August the 11th for an exhibition match. The Eagles will face another challenging schedule for the upcoming season, something head coach Warren Lipka says he likes.
Every year I try to make a schedule that's going to challenge us in each way that we can, either on the road or at home, and prepare us for a really difficult conference season. So I think we achieved that. I think we play a lot of different conferences that have different styles, and that's what we want to be able to do is get us ready and prepared for conference play.
MSU starts regular season play on August the 18th when they visit Western Carolina. The Soccer Eagles went 6-11-2 last season. Finally in sports, the Morehead State Volleyball Eagles are preparing to start preseason practices on August the 6th. Coach Jamie Gordon is excited about putting his players back to work.
You know, some of the things that we're going to want to make sure that we do is address some of our fundamentals, our passing, serving, ball control, the types of systems that we'll be able to run based on kind of how our fundamentals are looking.
Gordon says MSU returns a strong core of middle attackers and standout setters, along with last year's All-OVC performer Jordan Jones. The Eagles serve up their season opener on August the 19th by visiting Wright State in Dayton. That's a look at sports for Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Tickets are now available for Morehead State fall sports, including football, soccer, and volleyball. Home games begin August 13th for soccer and August 25th for volleyball. Football begins their season by hosting Kentucky Christian at 6 p.m. on Thursday, August 31st. More information from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed higher after a slew of major companies reported better-than-expected quarterly results. And at the close, the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 100.26 at 21,613.43. The S&P 500 set a new all-time closing record high, finishing with a gain of 7.17 at 2477.08. And likewise, the NASDAQ finished at an all-time high with a gain of 1.37 at 6412.17. New York Stock Exchange breadth was roughly 18 to 11 in favor of winning stocks over losers. Caterpillar posted bottom-line results that top estimates, and this sent its shares higher. GM and McDonald's also saw their shares climb after reporting quarterly results. However, 3M posted weaker-than-expected results, sending the stock down 6%, and shares of 3M shaved off 73 points from the Dow just by itself today. This is the busiest week of the earnings season, with approximately 180 S&P 500 components scheduled to report. Boeing, Coca-Cola, Facebook, and Amazon are set to report later this week. Wall Street also set its sights on the Federal Reserve as the central bank kicked off a two-day monetary policy meeting. Investors will parse their statement for clues about the unwinding of their $4.5 trillion balance sheet and what the Fed thinks about U.S. inflation. That being said, the Fed is largely expected to keep monetary policy unchanged. Market expectations for a rate hike at this meeting were just only 3.1%, according to the CME Group's Fed Watch tool. In economic news, major metro area home prices rose almost 6% in May, according to S&P CoreLogic, according to the S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller Home Price Index, and also consumer confidence data for July exceeded analyst expectations. The benchmark 10-year note yield rose as bond prices dropped, finishing at 2.32%, while the 2-year yield hovered around 1.38%. Oil was up 3.5% today, finishing just under $48 a barrel. Gold was down 0.3% to finish at $1,250 an ounce. European markets rose with the Stock 600 up 0.4%. Asia was mostly lower with the Nikkei down 0.1% and Shanghai down 0.2%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Caterpillar and McDonald's. The worst performers were 3M and United Technologies. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Freeport McMoRan and Newmont Mining, and the worst performers were Seagate Technology and Interpublic Group. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 52 cents at 67.01, CSX up 74 cents at 51.56, AEP down 36 cents at 68.83, AK Steel was up 76 cents on a good earnings report, finishing at 6.79, Marathon Petroleum was up 48 cents at 56.04, and Community Trust Bank was up 95 cents to finish at 43.65. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from The Bakery on Main, next to Pasquale's on East Main Street in Moorhead. The Bakery on Main prepares made-from-scratch breads, cakes, pies, tarts, and cookies. Glazed, cream, and fruit-filled donuts made fresh Monday, Friday, and Saturday. Catering for weddings, birthdays, bridal, and baby showers. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Orders by phone at 606-783-0101 and online at thebakeryonmain.com.
Taking an abbreviated look at the weather forecast, tonight it'll be clear, lows around 59, tomorrow mostly sunny, highs around 87. It's currently 82 degrees in Moorhead.
That's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Meraz, Paul Hitchcock, Arlo Barnett, Ellen Barnett, Braxton Howard, Sean Delaney, and Kyle Blankenbuehler. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202 BHNI Nez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.